Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just take turns, say your name and your role with the show.
Sure. I'm Susie Richard. People know me as Suzanne. No, wait, it's the other way around. But I am artistic director of Open Circle Theater, and I'm the director for the Grieving Project.
And I'm Lisa Snyderman, and I go by Lise, and I am the playwright, co-composer, producer for the Grieving Project.
Awesome. And it sounds really cool. Like it's something that's sort of like a in the proof of concept phase. So I'll let you all explain exactly what it is. But before we get to this specific show, The Grieving Project, why don't you start by telling me a little bit about Open Circle Theater? Like, I know it's based out of DC, which is where our station is, but I guess how long's Open Circle Theater been around? Let's big picture it.
Sure. Open Circle Theater has been around for about 20 years. They're the DC metro area's first professional theater company that integrates artists with and without disabilities. And we have done mainly shows like Evita and had actors with disabilities in it and shown how that actually enhances the show rather than is an obstacle to it. And then more recently, we've been kind of picking up the voice of people with disabilities, the artists with disabilities, and sharing new works. So this is a new work that we're sharing with the community and the world, and really excited about this particular piece. But we've been around about 20 years.
Okay, gotcha. And I'm also excited to go into this particular piece. It sounds really cool. One more, sort of housekeeping, big picture stuff. So, you said it's been around about 20 years. I guess it's like a DC-based nonprofit, Open Circle Theater. Where exactly do you typically, stage your shows? Like what venues, either in DC or in Baltimore here?
Sure. So typically, we had been down at the Silver Spring Black Box by the AFI Theater.
Of course.
Recently been working a lot because I was nominated to the Culture Caucus at the Kennedy Center. So we've been doing a bunch of stuff. We get, you get free space at the Kennedy Center. You take them up
Hey,
on it. So
not
we've been
bad.
doing stuff there. And then we were awarded this residency up here at the Voxel in Baltimore, which is this new beautiful space that they've created. And we were so excited to be able to take them up on a 2-week residency. So that's where we are now.
Great. And as you said, it's the Voxel, VOXEL in Baltimore, to produce this proof of concept. I guess the 2-week residency is what, from February 26th through March 11th. So by the time, I guess, if we air this here this week, I guess we're sort of on the tail end of that 2-week residency. So I guess without further ado, let's dive in and explain what this particular project is. So who wants to take it? What is the Grieving Project? I mean, I know because I'm reading the press release, but I can't use the soundbite unless I have one of you all say it. So yeah, in big picture, what is the Grieving Project?
Sure. So I'm Lise. I'm the playwright, and I'll give you the quick answer, and then I can give you a little bit about why it happened, if that's helpful.
Sure.
So the Grieving Project itself is a story of four disabled artists performed by disabled artists who find their voices and thrive while navigating mental health, transformation, relationships, identity, and grieving their illnesses. And it's basically an idea that we are trying to bring live theater experiences to those who can't attend live theater. And it came about because me, as an artist and a playwright, I'm home a lot. And I live with chronic illness. And so for about 16 years, right, I've been creating obsessively. And I kept so busy that I realized I had forgotten to grieve. And I also have been home going, I miss live theater. So how can we bring live theater experiences to people like me through film stage performance? So that sparked this whole project, which also sparked me to connect with Susie at Open Circle. And then together, we've sort of forged this way forward to moving the trajectory of both the show and the idea and the concepts behind the Grieving Project.
So wait, are you
Yeah.
just to follow up, are you saying that it is filmed performances for folks that might not be able to make it out to the physical theater?
It is going to be a film performance in our vision, but no, the intention is actually to give and engage our audience. So we have a simultaneous hybrid show. We have a live audience and we have an audience in a virtual space that's the metaverse. And so the idea behind this is how do you take all the elements from live theater and what do we bring into a virtual space to connect and engage a community? And I'll let Susie speak further on this because I can tell she's chomping at the
You're
bit.
like, ah,
Gotcha. Go ahead,
I'm
Susie.
not
Jump
good at
in
that
here.
speaking. we talk in each other's heads at this point. To be clear, this particular one we are doing live and online live at the same time. Okay. We are documenting, not making a documentary, but we are documenting what we're doing here just as a proof of concept so we can take it to other people and say, this is what we do, this is how we do it, and this is and this is how we do it. But what's going to happen on Friday and Saturday are live performances that you will view, both that you can view either in the theater or you can view online, but it's a live experience either way. Everyone's having a comparable experience. It's not the same experience, but we're making sure that the online experience is just as interactive. You get to come in as an avatar on your laptop. You don't have to have any special gear. I mean, as an avatar, you can walk around the space, the lobby, which looks like the lobby of the live theater. You can talk to other people in the lobby. You can go sit down, watch the show. You have choices of cameras that you can look through. There's also some cool 3D stuff that we're throwing at you in the theater. If you come out to go from one camera to the other, you'll see like ghosts and things happening around you. And you can also then watch in community with the live audience, because the live audience is going to see our online audience on screens on either side of the stage. So we really want to take that sense of we all felt during the pandemic, and people who can't come to the theater, that isolation of that 2D screen and you're sitting at home alone. We want this to be, make your 2D screen a 3D screen in a sense, and make a community that you are watching the show with. Theater is a group of people sitting in a room while another group of people tell them a story. And that's what we want to have also happen for you online as well.
Gotcha. Okay. So if they can't make it to the theater, they can watch it online at thegrievingproject.com/musical, I believe. Is that where they watch it?
Is that where they watch it, Lise?
I'm not sure. Well, that's the link I see. But...
Right. They're not going to be watching. So this is an invite only proof of concept right now. Intended, right, to get feedback from audiences in order for us to keep moving development. So right now it isn't public performances, but we are definitely having an opportunity for the audiences that we have to have an experience. That's what this is all about.
And if you're interested, you could email either myself at director@opencircletheater.org. Okay. Or just email me. And if this is something that you're like, I must see, we only have limited online and in theater seating because of that, because it's there's an actual lobby and actual seating for the online audience. Everyone's used to online, but we still have seats in both venues. Just email me and quickly, because they're filling up.
When you say both venues, do you mean the Voxel and what else?
The Voxel and online.
Both venues. Okay, I got you. The hybrid. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Let me explain one thing, Jason. The idea, it's not the site. It's not a website and it's not a Zoom experience. It's a whole different online platform that somebody's creating for us. They're kind of creating a custom experience for this project to explore what this is like to have a metaverse experience, right? So I want to make that clear. It's not that you go onto a website and have an experience. We actually will have another platform where everybody's going to join in community and watch the show. And what are they
developing the platform? Is it like its own sort of app?
It's an app. Yeah, I don't actually think you even have to download anything. Okay. It is a website, but it's not our website, I think, is what Lise is trying to.
Yes, right. We're working with a digital experience designer, and they're working with a company to help develop a platform that we are using in a metaverse. So the way I look at it is we're extending theater into the metaverse, right? So that's the way we're talking about it. Also, the other aspect we haven't touched is that we are a radically accessible production. And so this whole thing is rooted in the idea of accessibility. And Susie can speak to that. I can speak to that as well.
Yeah. What do we mean by radically accessible? I see some really, good bullet points on the press release under that heading. But explain what we mean when you say radically accessible.
Sure. People are beginning to be familiar with accessibility options. Sometimes even online you see them, but you might see a sign interpreter on the side of the stage. you might see, if you are aware of what audio description is, that's where there's someone describing the show as it's happening to someone who's blind or low vision. In this case, we are taking those adaptions, accessibility, not services, but ways of entering the show, and we're making them more completely embedded in the whole show, in the whole experience. We do have an audio describer live. The audio describer will also be online, giving anyone who shows up online who's blind or low vision a sighted tour, they call it, so that they understand where they are in the lobby. We have sign interpretation, which is embedded into the show. All Open Circle shows are that way, but in this one, because it's online and in the space, it's a whole new kettle of fish. The set is accessible. Obviously, the audience is accessible. And there are other accessibility things that we're baking in that are not just performative accessibility. And obviously, the cast, as all people with disabilities, the characters who have disabilities, are performed by actors who have disabilities.
Yeah, and also captions. We're also including captions throughout. Yes.
You can also access the show through captions online, and in the live theater space, it is not captioned throughout. It is captioned through parts and sign interpreted through parts. So that is a Open Circle conceit that we do, but online you can watch it with the captions the entire time.
Awesome. Tell me a little bit about who is in the cast, because it's is it four characters?
There's four and there's a fifth actor too.
Okay.
Yeah, I can speak
to that. So who is
it?
Yeah, where do they come from? How they get cast? How they audition? Or is it? Or yeah, I just would love to know that process.
Yeah, right now we're in development. So we are looking for people, believe it or not, trying to find local actors in Baltimore, for example, that have disabilities. They don't have to match the characters' descriptions, but we're even looking to be authentic for these characters to have disabilities and chronic illnesses. So we actually were casting all over, and we ended up taking 4 to 5 actors from the New York area. I think all of them were, right, Susie? In the East, I know they're East Coast. I don't know if they were all New York, but yeah. Close.
So we did an open call, and we sent it out, equity and non-equity. We did have to scale back to our contingency budget, so we weren't able to cast equity. And of the non-equity online auditions that we got, we cast 5 actors. 4 of them are playing major characters. One of them is playing a smaller character that comes on and does other things in the course of the show. And they all do have disabilities. Ironically, in the casting, there are 2 actors who have the disability of another character that they're not playing. Another character is playing, doesn't have that disability, but it's fascinating to watch them like at night, because they're all housed here in DC in a house that we have for them, talking and sharing about what their different experiences with disability is and what that means. And it's like a workshop in the house. With all the actors with different needs and abilities and strengths and experiences, sharing that and bringing it to each other's and their own performances. So, and we, in fact, at one point, Lee's, who put, one of the main characters is based on Lee's, as she said, I asked, we're dealing with a moment when Lee's really first, her illness really took her body over for a moment. And after much talking, I finally put Lisa on the phone in the middle of the actors and said, describe physically exactly what happened to you. And Lisa did. And the actors, because they all had their own disability experiences, can key right into it and then could create it. And it was really a beautiful and magical moment to watch happen with actors. I have a disability too. I just want to put that in. Nobody gives me credit for that. Yeah.
Do you mind if you don't mind, just so I have, because I'm gonna write an article with it too, just so I have the details. Do you mind each of you sharing your specific disability? I know Lisa, you said chronic illness, but any information you could provide would help flesh out the article.
Sure. So I have, this is Susie, I have osteogenesis imperfecta. which is also known as brittle bones disease. And please don't say brittle bones. It's also known as brittle bones disease. Although some people hate that word, it is a.
Wait, I want to be clear. You don't want me to say brittle bones disease?
I would rather you say osteogenesis imperfecta.
Okay.
And then you could say brittle bones disease, but I don't. You know, people don't say chunky lung disease when they talk about cystic fibrosis. That's
right. Right. Use the technical term. We'll use the technical term. Yeah.
It's, you know, like in the disability world, everything's a debate.
Right.
My preference. Like I always, whenever I'm doing, they used to call it sensitivity training. Now it's something different. Right. Whenever I'm doing that, I'm always like, find the culture of the workplace that you're in terms of how to talk about disability. But so
I want to be respectful to you and you,
right. Please
you
say
want me to use. Yeah.
Imperfecta. It means that I have had multiple fractures and surgeries my whole life. I'm 4 feet tall. I use crutches and a wheelchair to get around. And then I have stomach issues that have come up additionally. And I have a bipolar disorder. So all of those things together just make me me. They don't make me any different. And the interesting thing, and I'm going to let Lise tell you about her world. The interesting thing is I'm a person who was born with a disability. This is a genetic disability, even though I'm a spontaneous mutation. No one else in my family is a carrier. I was born this way. So this is me. And even I have found in parts of my life that I have grieved my disability. Where Lise was coming at it from is that she became disabled, but she never took the time to grieve that change in her life. And then with grieving that change, she didn't find that was enough. She had to go all the way to thriving with it. So it wasn't just she grieved her disability. She then said acceptance, which is the, you know, where classically you end, acceptance isn't enough. I want to find some stages of thrive. So she created the stages of thrive so that in the end, all of these characters are thriving with their disability. They're not in any way cured. They are thriving with their disability.
Right.
Sorry. Go ahead, Lise.
Okay. Hello. So yes, I'm an artist and playwright, like I said, and most of my lens has been through creating through my illness and disabilities. And as Susie said, I was around 2008, so it's been about 16 years that I've lived with a progressive muscle weakness disease called dermatomyositis. It is basically affects my skin, my muscles, my ability, my mobility, things like that, my energy, my stamina. And then I also have a primary immune deficiency called CVID, which is common variable immune deficiency, that often, you know, plays on my need to not be in the public, which is a big thing, right? Because I don't make antibodies easily. So I just have no resistance to any infections. So that's part of my background with my own illness. I don't remember what else you asked.
I was just asking for each of you. You answered it to describe in detail, you know, what the challenge you're facing. But list what some of the other conditions that there's a reason that the Grieving Project aims to bring theater experiences to millions of people who can't attend live theater for a bunch of different reasons, not just the two you listed. So what are some of the other reasons, maybe?
Yeah, so there's all kinds of reasons. I mean, there's all kinds of people that we're trying to reach. That's first, right? So the idea is that people who can't attend live theater due to chronic illness, disability, age, economic and geographic challenges, lack of accessible theaters, right? There's a lot of, on that side of it, there's a lot of people we're trying to reach on the impacts. And then there are the actual, you know, people who have all kinds of illnesses. When you're talking about the story centering people with illnesses, we center a character that was based on my journey with dermatomyositis. We have a character who has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and mixed connective tissue disease. We have somebody who has multiple sclerosis, and we have a character who is dealing with depression, anxiety, and PTSD over the death of his twin brother. So by pulling in these what we're calling later onset illnesses, all of these characters have later onset illness, and they in community are struggling and trying to figure out what it means to live, grieve, and thrive with their illnesses.
Gotcha.
One of the things too, Jason, is what I like to say are pandemic silver linings, which is a strange thing to say because I also remind everybody, because we are artists, we have to be the ones to remind people that over 1 million people died, right?
Oh, I'm with you. And a lot of us are still dealing with the anxieties. And those mm-hmm. who have survived are still, you know, the world has changed forever for a lot of them.
Forever, yes. We've got masks and COVID tests here. But we are also discovered during this time community. You know, there's downsides to the internet, obviously, we know that. But I think a lot of us found, in as we were all isolated at home, we started finding friends. I know I found a whole group of friends that I didn't know were there that I now keep in touch with. And that's kind of what happens with these characters. They come together because of an online competition during the pandemic. There's an online music competition for special artists. It's not called that, but it's pretty much that's the way that it's being billed by the slightly condescending host that is doing it. And through that competition, they end up becoming friends. And then afterwards, they're like, we're just going to keep meeting. So the scene that we're actually seeing from the show is in the second act after they've kept meeting. An interesting thing about Lise's show is that it is a spoken word musical. So it means that when her characters, before they find their voice, so they're robbed of their voice when they discover that they have a disability and their world is changed and shaken and they're dealing with it without grieving, as Lise pointed out. So as they start to find their voice, they begin to sing again. And in this particular scene, which is in the second act, that we're seeing them in their Zoom room, right? And we have Zoom rooms that are happening that in the theater, we're seeing the Zoom room, but we're also seeing the live actors doing the Zoom room. Online, they're seeing a Zoom room, but they have the option to also watch the live actors doing the Zoom room. So these are all options that everybody has. But then when you go into a flashback, we go onto stage and everybody goes live onto the stage and we see it happen on the stage. And that's when in this particular scene, which was perfect for contingencing it down to one particular proof of concept, we see a character find their voice. So in other words, they go from speaking to singing. We see a character who struggles and can't find their voice while another one who has is supporting them. And then we see a third character who's found their voice really come alive and begin to thrive with that newfound understanding of their disability, their where they are, their changed world. So that's kind of the fun thing about Lisa's show, kind of why I took it on, besides the fact that the music is awesome too, but there's a really beautiful message and vehicle for it to be in.
Wow. Yeah, and so, I want to add one thing, go ahead. Jason. Yeah, I want to add one more thing, which is that this whole idea, once we got the residency, we had scaled up initially. Yeah. We thought, oh my gosh, we wanted a 5 scenes, 7 songs. We're going to take 30 minutes and we're just going to, you know, power through to really get 10 actors to get at the concepts that we really wanted to convey. And then we actually lost some grant funding that we anticipated getting in December, $50,000 worth, which meant we have to scale this whole thing back. So we are now in a position to really say, what do we want to get out of this residency? What is our concept? And honestly, scaling has probably been a positive too, because it's really allowing us, you know, to focus and to try to get at these concepts. So the other thing I'll say is the intention behind this. So this is just phase one, this idea of a concept. We are leading towards a full stage production, hopefully over a period of a few years, right? It all depends on what happens next in the development. We have a very ambitious project in the tech world. We have a very tiny piece that we're exploring in a concept in the metaverse. And in our ideal, we want the metaverse for the full show. So there is a long way for it to go. And with accessibility in the rooted part, right? It means we also build that as we go. So there's a lot of opportunity to hear from and include disabled voices, which is a big part of our show. We always say it's by, for, and with people with disabilities. Okay. So I want to leave that, right, with that.
And also circling back in with DC, like you were saying, I have connections. I've been in this town for way too long. And I have connections at, WOWIE and Shakespeare Theater and then other people know who I am, I hope. They say hi to me. I don't know. So we have invited some of those theaters to come. We have invited all of those theaters to come. Some of them are already coming. Sorry, guys. I forgot Olney. And we're based in Rockville, or my office is in Rockville. Sorry, Olney. They're coming for sure. So we were, looking at the larger theaters in town to see if we can't scale up to there. But we've also been talking to How to Dance in Ohio. Other people, producers have been working on that or are interested in this show. So we've been talking to them. So it's an ambitious project. It's going to take funding and it's going to take ambitious, ambitious people. But the great thing is the amazing designers, the local designers, except for Paul, our projectionist, who we did import. And okay, Christopher, our digital designer who came in from England. Okay, we imported a couple, but the rest of them, Gordon Nemo Smith, Marianne Meadows, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget someone, and Jessica Wallach, our accessibility director. Those are all local people, and they are so happy that we didn't get to do the whole piece that we wanted to do, even though we were all excited and it was beautiful. And I'll show you my storyboard sometimes. It's gorgeous. But the fact that we're getting to craft and hone in on this small part is really cool because everybody's really getting to bring their A game without being neurotic.
I love it. Well, I mean, it sounds fascinating. And I mean, and I have more than, enough material. Yeah. I mean, we've gone like a half hour, so I think I have plenty to work with, but I just want to make sure in the way that I present it and the way I roll it out when I run it this week, because obviously this is a proof of concept over several years. Is this be much different than like, hey, Chicago's coming to National Theater, what I mean, like a typical story I do. So this isn't something where our listeners, I can put out the call, the bat signal, and the listeners can go check it out at the Voxel, right? You said it's kind of like a private thing that you're still working out, right? So it's more of a feature piece that this local group is putting this on. How exciting this local group is doing. It's more of like a feature piece than a, hey, everyone come see this at this moment.
Exactly. Right. But like Susie says, as noted, there is some capacity right now, but that may change. Right. So we're saying if somebody is interested, you could have them contact Susie, right? Director at Open School.
20 seats left, that kind of thing. So that if people were interested, you can pass them. But also, but we're looking for people who are interested and interested not only in funding, but just in, and that kind of thing. We're not looking for actors, although we will be, but that's not. But what we're really looking for is like local DC world to know that this is happening in their world and to get involved and to let us know they're interested and, happy to talk to people about ideas or whatever. And we're on a track, but if people want to get in touch with us, find out what we're doing, we're fine with that.
And Jason, we have a couple campaigns, so you might have seen the Indiegogo, right? We're raising funds because of that lack of the loss of funding. So we have the Indiegogo campaign, and we have that link. If you want me to send you links, I'm happy to. We got
God help me. There's a GoFundMe campaign for Open Circle. Please God, I need some admin help.
Thank you. If we could just if we could link to those in the article, that's fine. If you want to send me the links to the GoFundMes and stuff, but that gives me an idea of at least more so than when I hopped on here at the beginning of this, that it's a feature piece on the two of you and the local arts organization here, Open Circle Theater. That this crazy cool idea that is in the works. But it's going to be like three phases, between now and 2026 or something. Like that's more of the angle.
Reach out to us if you that kind of thing.
Okay, so more of a feature piece. Okay, great. So I will try to run it, one day this week, tomorrow, Thursday, something like that. Cool. That's great. Thank you. This sounds awesome. I will do my best to get the word out.